Welcome back to 4D Forges. We're delighted to reconnect friends from the past, Bridget Cross, Mark Robinson, and Dean Wareham for this episode. Bridget and Mark were signed to 4AD in the 90s, whilst in their initial band Unrest, and then when they became Air Miami. Dean was in the influential band Galaxy 500, and is still currently in Luna, as well as releasing his own solo music. Their paths have overlapped many times in the past, and we're happy to bring them together again for this conversation.
Okay, who's in charge here? Hello.
That's a good question.
You.
Okay, my name is Dean Wareham. I'm sitting here in sunny Los Angeles.
My name is Mark, and I am in Massachusetts. Or I think Dean lived here once upon a time.
You're in Cambridge, Massachusetts, right?
That's right.
All right, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I'm Bridget, and I am in Juneau, Alaska. Lunar Outpost.
And then you two were in a band, in a couple of bands together.
That's true.
How often do you two talk to each other?
Once in a while.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
Not enough.
Email probably, though, right? As you know, my first band, Galaxy 500, we don't really talk to each other. But we did. We email, that's fine. It's all very friendly. We're not like enemies or anything, but there's always when you're in a band together, even if the band splits up, it's kind of, if you've made albums together, it's kind of like you've made babies together, and you have to periodically, you have to talk about them and deal with them. Where are they going to school?
Yeah.
About reissues, t-shirts. It goes on.
I love it. Yeah. It's a great analogy. Yeah.
When did you two last see each other? Let me ask you that.
Oh,
that's a good question.
I think it was in D.C., right?
What? D.C.?
Right?
I was going to say Alaska.
I think there's been a D.C. trip. Remember that Washington Post thing?
Oh, God. Yeah, that was weird. Yeah.
What was the weird thing?
It was like Washington Post. I don't even know what it was exactly. It was like what happened 25 years ago in D.C. or something. And they flew us to D.C. and Bridget from Alaska. And they put us up in a hotel. And we did like a photo shoot and an interview. And then they just flew us back.
That is weird. That sounds like an episode. This is your life. And the other thing. Yeah. I felt like that when I put my book out and I did a book event in Boston. And they flew me to Boston and put me in a really nice hotel. And it was just... Yeah, it was strange.
So that was probably 2017 or something like that, 2016.
I feel that the last time, well, let me start with the last time I think I saw you two, I think, would be 1995 at the Roxy in Los Angeles. I don't know, have I seen either of you since? Do you remember that show?
I think I've seen you since, probably at Luna shows, but it was like 96, 97, 98, et cetera, et cetera. But I do remember that show.
Were you on tour with Sonic Boom? Or was it just... Because wasn't he on the bill that night too?
Wow.
Yes. Yes. Well, actually, I don't know. I don't sounds right.
I think so. I think it was a triple bill. I think it was Luna, Air Miami, and Sonic Boom.
What is 27 years ago? It's awful hard to just kind of pull that memory
up. Also, Bridget, I think you were on acid that night.
I was wondering I think we all were. And that was not the usual. We were not a druggy band.
Well, I know, but you know where it came from because Terry Tolkien was there.
I remember it really well. Yeah.
And there was Rex too. There was a combo.
Yes.
And Rex, who is, God rest his soul, no longer with us.
Oh really? Oh wow.
Yeah. Rex and Terry.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
For those who don't know, Terry Tolkien was an A&R guy. He put out an Unrest record.
Mm-hmm. Couple, really.
Yeah, and he signed Luna to Elektra Records, and he passed away January this year in New Orleans. Maybe we'll talk about more about that later. But but what I remember is because that night was at the Roxy. I think Terry's like, "Oh, yeah, Bridget's on acid." I'm like, "Wow, she got on stage on acid." I mean, but it goes to show it's not us musicians who have the drugs. It's the people from the record company. They show up with the drugs. They're like, "Here's drugs." And we're like, I don't know. I got to perform night after night. I can't be staying up all night." But then the next night, we Luna had a gig at Cal State Fullerton, and Terry came down to that one, and he was on acid again, or acid and X, I don't know. And I remember he wanted to like give a little speech before we went on, and he got on stage, and I remember him giving the speech like, "Listen, if you like this music, this band was in grave danger. You need to like call your local radio stations and tell them, you know, to play." They were like, "Thank you, Terry."
Wow.
That was, I think, the first night that I remember him providing drugs. Because I think I met him in like 19, I think before I met either of you, I met Terry. And he was, I don't know, he like maybe just around me, he was not the super drug guy. But then, like, I think once he got to Elektra, it was like a whole nother story.
But I'm not the first time I remember meeting you, Mark, was at CBGB's record canteen.
That's right, yeah.
And this would have been like, 88 or 89.
I think 88, I think
88. Because I remember you had either a banner or a t-shirt that said Unrest 500. Do you remember doing that? Because you told me like you really liked Galaxy 500. I think you were just doing it as a joke for that diet.
Just wanted to match your number. Yeah. We're just as good, 500.
And Terry may have had something to do with that show. I don't know if Gerard Cosloy put on those shows at the canteen. It was...
Yeah, I think Terry was definitely there. I'm sure Gerard was probably there.
Yeah.
But that was the same year I met Bridget, actually. 1988, I believe.
Okay, because you weren't in the band yet at that show.
Right.
You're right.
No.
Bridget was in high school.
I was in high school. That's right. A senior, to be clear.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. That was a great venue, though, the record canteen.
Well, it was a good venue, and the other good thing about it was if you're at CBGB's and you needed to use a bathroom and you didn't want to go to those disgusting toilets there, you'd just be like, "No, I'll go next door to the record canteen. They've got an actual one that's got a door that closes, and it's got a seat."
You've always been a little classy, Dean.
I know I sound stuck up.
Even in 1988. Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, so you wound up, Terry wound up signing you at least for one record to number six records.
Right. Well, before that, he put out the second Unrest record on Caroline. He was working at Caroline.
Right.
And I kind of met him when I put out the first Unrest record because we put it out ourselves. And he just kind of loved it and just kept buying more and more and then somehow convinced Caroline to put out the second album.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then he did that one. And then you wind up signing to 4AD.
Right.
So who signed you to 4AD?
Was there a particular, I guess, Ivo Watts-Russell? Yeah.
Okay, yeah, the boss.
But yeah, we had some other people. I remember people were just like calling us up and taking us out to eat and things like that from various places. And I remember, I think it was In Progress. And I think Terry knew about it. But then once he found out that we were kind of close, that things were kind of getting serious, then he like flew us up to New York and we went to the Elektra offices. I think he got us like, we flew to New York, which was unusual because it was so close. And then he got us like some sort of car to drive to the office.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did. This is coming back.
That's always funny. Elektra always offered, like, "We'll send a car." And I'm like, "No, I'll take the subway. It'll take me 20 minutes. It's really okay." So he was going to try and sign you to Elektra?
I think, I don't know what, because he didn't really seem interested. I mean, that's kind of a weird thing to say, but he didn't seem like that interested in having. I don't know. I guess once he found out that other people were interested in putting out our next record, then all of a sudden he became interested.
Right. Well, seriously, I guess if you were signed by Ivo himself, I always feel like A&R people, they don't really have the power. What they have what's called in Hollywood negative power. They have the power to say no, but most people can't green light something unless you actually own the company. And I think it's the same at every label. Even if you're like the senior vice president of A&R, you're still like, unless you're actually writing the checks, they always have to go to somebody.
Right.
Did you work with Robin Hurley? Was he at 4AD when you were there?
He was.
Yeah.
He was running the... Well, I actually knew him.
He ran the U.S. office for a long time, yeah.
Right. He was at the U.S. office. But of course, we met him when he was at Rough Trade because Terry was working there. When you were putting out records with Galaxy 500, yeah. It was Ivo, and they actually licensed the number 6 record, which is how we got involved with 4AD.
Okay.
That was our first thing, and then they signed us up for a second record. Robin Hurley. And I also am just remembering, now that we're talking about these other people, like Randy Kay from
Randy.
Slash.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who also has passed away.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, Randy, yes, because Slash were interested in Galaxy 500 too, and it didn't happen, but it was the interest initially from him that kind of got the ball rolling at all. He saw us play at CMJ or we weren't even part of CMJ. We just like were playing in some shitty bar and put up some flyers and he happened to see us. And
cool. Yeah, he was a nice guy.
I think he was known here as Randy Detroit in LA. Maybe he was even Detroit originally. I think that was his punk rock moniker.
I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
And he also ran a label called Genius Records. They put out the first, they were the first to put out Spaceman 3 here in the States.
Oh, right. Wow.
But
memories.
So Rob and I know forever, and of course, so he ran the 4AD office forever, and now he's at Warner's Rhino/Warner's.
Oh yeah, Warner's. That's right. He's been there for a long time.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah,
he's great. I love Robin. Yeah. What else did I notice? You recorded a record at Pachyderm Studios. Which one?
We did. It was the last Unrest record, Perfect Teeth, and we were there. I mostly remember that right before this engineer who worked on a record, or the studio assistant guy, was talking about Courtney Love being there just like a week or two earlier.
Oh, because Nirvana did a record too, didn't it?
Right, because Nirvana recorded there like a week or two before us. And it's like a house where you like, did you record there?
Yes, we did.
Okay, yeah.
We recorded the Pop Tent album.
Oh yeah, right.
Which you then released. You licensed the vinyl on your label Teen Beat. Yeah,
that's right.
We had a miserable time at Pachyderm.
Oh, no kidding.
That's too bad.
Not the studio's fault. It was December, so it's like this is outside of Minneapolis, Cannon Falls.
Yeah.
Middle of nowhere. It was bleak, and I think part of the problem was that our producer, Pat McCarthy, he came from L.A. and he just stayed on L.A. time. So he would get up at he would wake up at like noon or 1 a.m. and and then like at 3:30 the sun would be going down. So it was just like, oh no, I was always trying to get. I prefer to work in the morning. I don't know.
I do remember, like, this often happens when you go into a studio, like, things are just not working for whatever reason, like, one patch cord is not plugged in correctly or something. So I remember the first day we were there, I think we were waiting for, like, ever, and we just finally started recording at, like, 8 o'clock at night or something like that, after a whole day of waiting.
Okay. Yeah, well, that was basically what we did every night, start around 8, mm-hmm. really, play Scrabble. avoid recording, play ping pong.
They had a great
end, so we would wrap up at like three in the morning most nights, and then people would play ping pong outside of my bedroom, and I would take an Ambien to go to sleep, and then that would just make me cranky the next day.
Oh my goodness!
Anyway,
Pachyderm.
It's a nice studio though.
It was,
I think,
very
we
nice.
Were there in winter too, weren't we?
It was winter, but I think it was March, so we probably had a little more, wasn't as like dark, sunlight.
Yeah. More sunlight. Yeah. Well, I shouldn't complain, Bridget. I'm sure you spend much of the year without any sun.
I was like, oh, this is my life. Bleak and dark. Oh, why am I here? What's happened to me?
Right now. So it's in the morning where you are in it right now, right? Yeah,
that's
you got a little bit of sunlight. Yes. Yeah, I actually logged onto this call an hour early. And I was like, oh no, that's I'm on Bridget time.
Oh, welcome.
How is Juno?
It's typical. Yeah. It's sliding. There's lots of earth moving around.
Oh wow.
So that's kind of a bummer. It's definitely warmer.
Is it melting?
Yes.
The glacier is melting.
But the glacier is melting, but the land is moving. It's really eroding quickly because it rains here all the time. It's a rainforest. Alaska's huge. I don't have to give you a geography lesson, but it's huge, incomprehensibly huge. And where I live is in a rainforest in the southeast part. So kind of, many people don't even consider it Alaska. They call it Canada.
Oh, really?
But it's not. It's definitely Alaska. Cool. Anyway. Rains a lot, and it's even raining more now that the climate's changing. That seems to be part of our deal. It's super cold sometimes and really exciting, and then warms up to 40 degrees and rains 3 inches in a couple hours. It's like, whoa. So the town is built up right against a mountain because it was a mining town. That's how this whole thing started. So it's not really prepared for this type of change, and it's moving. It's not going to. I think our time is limited here.
What drew you to Juno? Why did you move there? If you don't mind my asking.
okay. Well, I just came up for the summer, and then unfortunately I got arrested, and then I was forced to stay. So I was transported to Juno from a very even more remote place, and thought that I would leave as soon as I could, but I'm still here.
I do recall that. Yeah. I do remember hearing about that.
Wasn't acid related.
It was just Alaska related.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's beautiful there.
It's really, yeah, I'm being Miss Negative Nancy here, but I live here because of the mountains and the ocean and the whales, and I love the land and the wild place. But I do miss, sun and movies. And
you had the cool movie theater we went to, though.
Yeah,
that was cool.
There's movies. Well, there's still movies there? Here. It's there, but cool. It's one.
Right.
I'll let you in on a secret. Most of the movie theaters shut down in L.A. too. At least a lot of them during the pandemic.
Are they back up now, or?
Some of them are not. No, they're just they're just gone. They're just like it's just things have just shifted that way.
Things have really shifted.
But, and Mark, what you're mostly doing design now?
Yeah, I do. Was that just book covers and record covers and all sorts of design? That's right. You were asking me about like 7-inch box sets. I guess you.
Yes, I was
a little while ago. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did that come out?
I will never do that again. Don't ever do a 7-inch box set. Well, because I had like. All right, so it was 6 singles times 200. And so it's just a process of I do 6 different covers, and then I'm taking them out and putting them in, and then putting them in the plastic bag. And then assembling these boxes. And I'm like, okay, this would make more sense to just be one record with 12 songs on it instead of 6 small records with a song on each side.
That's how I spent my 20s, was putting together 7-inch singles. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was I figured it was during the pandemic. They were lathe cut singles. I figured it's a nice pandemic item.
Nice.
Also, they're not that loud. They don't sound great either.
So. Okay.
But they look nice.
Right. That's all people care about now. They want to know what color vinyl is it.
Because if 480 most people had Vaughn Oliver do their record covers, right?
Right.
We were the first band not to do that.
I don't know if we were the first band. I think some of the really early stuff maybe was not done by him, but I think he was kind of miffed that we didn't use him for the Air Miami record. But I was kind of just so excited to design a record that I kind of asked them, and they said, sure. But he did Chris Big did the Unrest records, and then I did the Air Miami record.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a great cover, that Air Miami. Anyway, whereabouts in Cambridge, Massachusetts are you, Mara?
I am in between Inman and Kendall. Do you remember that?
I used to live in for a little while. I lived in Inman Square.
Yeah.
Adrian Street, Inman Square.
Okay.
Is the Inn Square Men's Bar still there? Probably not.
Inn Square? I don't think so. It sounds great. The Men's Bar. I wish.
Yeah, I don't think I'm making that up. I don't.
Yeah, I'm sure there's. Whenever you come back, I'm sure it's much different.
Yeah, that's weird for me going back there. And it has been a little while. Well, everywhere's fancier now, isn't
it? It's true.
Cambridge, no difference.
Everywhere. Even Juneau, maybe.
except there's one place that has not gotten fancier.
Now I'm remembering, Mark, another time I ran into you.
Okay.
Was when Galaxy 500, we were on tour, and we were in Minneapolis. Maybe we were opening for the Cocteau Twins the next. I don't know. But you were there. I ran into you outside the 7th Street entry.
Okay.
You were on tour with the Dust Devils.
Yeah, oh. Wow. That was a tour. That was 1990,
yeah, so you were both there, weren't you?
I guess maybe I wasn't in 1990.
I don't think Bridget would have been there. Unless we did later shows with the Dust Devils, but I don't recall
that.
We did. I think we definitely did. Okay, I'm not sure when it was, but yeah.
It would have been like 1990.
Okay, yeah. So that's what I'm thinking of, yeah. And so you were playing the big room, we were playing the small room?
If we were playing the big room, we were opening for someone else. So, yeah, you just looked tired and cranky, like you'd been in a van for 8 hours, maybe.
Right.
Like you'd driven from Chicago and then were fed up with each other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Were you traveling with the Dust Devils in one vehicle?
We were like, it was so crowded. We were, I think, in a Chevy Suburban or something. I think there was like 8 people. And you could just fall asleep. We do these really long drives, and you could just fall asleep. But there was, you know, 2 people on either side of you that would just kind of keep you up. And I also remember getting like cigarette burns on my hands because people would just kind of, you know, maybe fall asleep with a cigarette, and I would be asleep.
But you mean not nodding off? That's what you're saying.
Right. Yeah.
I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah, can you believe though that people would smoke in vans back then? I don't know.
Probably still happens.
Or even in dressing rooms, like now that we used to smoke in the dressing room, and I feel bad for our drummer Lee. I'm like, I can't believe we smoked in the dressing room and made you inhale that. But I think it's more, especially like English people. Sometimes you'll get in a van and some English person will get in and they'll just light up, and you'll be like, what the fuck?
Right. Yeah. Still a thing there.
Yeah.
Today?
I think so, yeah.
Today? Well, it happened to me a couple months ago, anyway. It's okay. I still like going there.
Do you remember the first Luna show on, I think it was the first show, on the Frying Pan?
Oh, yeah. You were on that bill too, right?
We were on that bill, but I also played guitar,
you played
rhythm guitar
with
you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right, and I don't think we were even called Luna yet.
Right, there was no name. I don't know if there was a name.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Thank you for doing
that.
That's
exciting.
Yeah.
Wow. Frying Pan. That was the boat.
Yeah, the boat.
Yes.
Okay. You were probably on that
I was.
Show. Yeah.
I remember now.
Apparently it's still there. Apparently
it's
been like remodeled.
Of course.
Yeah, because I think it was all peeling paint, like rust and peeling paint.
Yes.
And
yes. Amazing that they were allowed to have shows on that at all. Yeah, I played a wedding on that boat too.
Oh wow!
You know, I'm remembering that night that you mentioned, that fateful Roxy night. I don't remember if it was a Roxy, but
yes, it was.
I think Fontaine Toops was
playing
with us,
yeah,
and that we both saw your aura that evening. And just so you know, it was blue.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, it was pretty cool, and you had a breeze.
It
was like, we were like, did you feel that? Did you see that?
Wow.
You know, and you just kind of walked by and was like,
whew. Wow. And that was pre or post acid?
of those posts.
Definitely during. Yeah.
That's interesting though. So that because people take acid and they think they've seen God or something, but maybe it's just your brain playing tricks on you, or maybe that's what God is.
That's another conversation.
Our next episode. What,
look forward to that.
What God is.
Is it a trick? Is it a brain phenomenon? Or is it true mystery?
All of the above.
So when's the next Unrest gig? No, I'm just kidding.
When's the next Galaxy 500 show?
When they induct us into the Rock and Roll Hall
of Fame.
Oh,
exciting. Okay. Get your tickets now.
In the year 3000.
Do you play live? I loved your
I
last
do play
record.
A lot. Yeah, but, yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yes, I play a lot. And sometimes, yeah, yeah. I toured. I went, with the pandemic, none of us really played much, did we? But I did finally get to Europe in July. And it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Very nice.
In fact, I'm still making up some of those pandemic shows that it were canceled. Wow. I'm going to Copenhagen.
Nice.
Wow. And I'm in March. That's something that's been postponed 4 times.
Wow.
This time it's going to happen, though.
Probably.
I like that poster in the background, Dean.
Oh, that's from a Fassbinder film. In German, it's Faustrecht der Freiheit. And in English, it was called Fox and His Friends.
Oh.
And I always wonder. I always wonder if that's where they got the title of that show on Fox. But probably not. Fassbinder movie is about a bunch of degenerates.
Well, it looks amazing.
And actually, I'm going on tour. Well, I'm doing some Luna are doing some West Coast dates. We even thought about Alaska, but whoa. It is January, and then.
Like Anchorage or?
I guess it would be from Vancouver. Where can you get to? And anyway.
Wherever a plane will take you, which could be Juneau.
That's true.
The capital city. Yes. That you can't drive to, but you can fly or sail to. Thank you.
How many people live in Juneau?
I think 30,000.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what makes it difficult too.
Yeah, I think the no road thing is the real killer. Yeah,
does no road in? So you got to take a boat, or we lost Mark. What happened?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you fall over?
I'm still
getting
here.
Emotional. Yeah, you got to fly or sail here.
Do you sail?
I don't want to talk about it anymore. Yeah. No, I don't. No, I don't.
Oh.
I kayak, but no, I don't. That's a lie. I kayak in my mind.
Well, next up from a kayak is a sailboat. I remember my dad, when we lived in Sydney, Australia, he went to buy a kayak and he came home with a sailboat.
Oh, wow. That's a mind change.
Yeah.
Do you sail?
No. I mean, I know how to sail because I lived... I'm from New Zealand and I lived in New Zealand and Australia till I was 14 when I moved to New York. So it's sailing is pretty easy down there. It's not like a rich man sport. It's kind of like just because there's water everywhere and nice weather all year round. So I can sail a bit, I think.
Well, you should sail up to Juneau.
I'm coming.
Easy waters. Yeah. Warm if you fall in, it's no big deal.
Well, I guess we're coming to the end of our time, aren't we?
Feels right. Yeah.
It was nice talking to you guys.
Great talking to you. Great to see you guys, both of you.
Yeah, really good to see both of you too.
Thanks so much to Bridget, Mark and Dean for joining us on 4AD Forages. There's something special coming from Air Miami on 4AD later this year, so keep an eye out for that.